You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my friend and co-host, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, and we're joined by Charles Burton, who is going to help us understand a puzzle. Not only a fresh puzzle, but one that seems odd, given that the man who has disappeared is entirely in favor of the Chinese Communist Party and its brutality. Charles, a very good day to you. Thank you for this. His name is Hu, H-U. He was the former editor of the Global Times, and he was much online in his social media platforms praising the regime. And he had 25 million followers. Where is he, Charles? Good day to you.
Well, I mean, Hu Jintao is a very prominent figure who has 25 million followers on China's equivalent of Twitter, I guess, Weibo, longer articles. He, was the editor of the Global Times, as you say, which is the sort of tabloid version of the People's Daily that we used to look at fairly closely, particularly the editorials, to see if it was reflecting the thinking of the Chinese Communist Party that's toned down in official propaganda statements. But he has a good turn of phrase. I mean, when tensions soured with Australia, he likened the country to gum stuck at the bottom of China's shoe. With regard to Canada, he said, if you continue to trade with China and benefit from it, you shouldn't let your foul-mouthed media continue their deeds. So, aside from suggesting that the Uyghur camps are a good thing and that Peng Shuai, the tennis player raped by a member of the Standing Committee of the Politburo, is just fine, he also tended to, I guess, increase his credibility by occasionally saying things that were not entirely consistent with Chinese government policy. So, he had some concerns about COVID. But I think that he went over the line. He did come out fairly strongly suggesting that the Chinese should have blown Nancy Pelosi's airplane and its accompanying U.S. Airplanes out of the sky before she arrived in Taiwan, and he was removed as editor of the Global Times in 2021. It's described as a retirement, but my guess is that they simply felt that he was too much of a loose cannon to continue under the extremely strong crackdown on what is legitimate discourse in China under Xi Jinping. His most recent cause for his complete disappearance from social media was when he largely misinterpreted some Chinese documents that had come out of the latest Congress and suggested that China was going to strengthen the role of the private sector and make it somehow equal to the state sector, which is very much at odds with what Mr. Xi wants to do, as we've discussed on this program. And that seems to have been the last straw, and he's gone. Whether he will end up in prison eventually, that remains to be seen.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, what's really surprising about this is that in this particular case, Hu Suijin actually just was mimicking and repeating Communist Party talking points about the third plenum. the important Communist Party meeting about the economy. So really, it seems that even if you laud the Communist Party, you can end up in purgatory, I guess you could call it. And the point here is that the party probably wasn't very serious when it talked about the equality of private and state companies. So repeating that line from the Communist Party got him into trouble because the party wasn't serious about it in the first place.
Yes, I quite agree. I mean, they say these things to try and solve the private sector. And we all know that what they really mean is that we're strengthening the state sector and that the private sector is not going to be given very much consideration or fairness in treatment. And he was quoting these things about how they should be treated equally in the legal process to the state sector. I mean, everybody knows that that's just not true. It's along the lines of, you know, foreign investment will be given equal treatment in China to domestic investment. They say these kinds of things, trying to reassure foreign investors. No foreign investor who's had an experience with China over any length of time would take that as suggesting any change in policy.
Charles, I'm puzzling here about whose role when he was the Global Times editor. He comes up with topics and wings it as an op-ed writer, and that is okay with them, or they dictate to him what he should write about. How did it work?
I think that I think winging it would be a bit strong, but I think he tried to push the barriers of what would be acceptable discourse in that newspaper with a view to giving some credibility to himself, that he isn't simply a mindless repeater of propaganda, but that he's a real guy who's a nationalist first and who naturally supports the Chinese Communist Party, but does have some thoughts of his own, and is a person who, you know, speaks in the kind of lurid language of Chinese guys in a bar who support the party, hate the United States, and want China to become the dominant power on the planet, but don't necessarily repeat the exact points made in the People's Daily. And so that was his strength, was he was seen as somewhat, to some extent, real in terms of what he was saying, even though, you know, I think as propaganda, he was still highly constrained. I mean, certainly nothing would have come out in the Global Times editorials just on his say-so. These things are carefully vetted by the Ministry of Propaganda of the Chinese Communist Party. But it played a certain role in trying to convince nationalists that the Chinese Communist Party was, in fact, an organization that would fulfill their nationalistic ambitions. This latest thing on the private sector, there's speculation that he might have misread the propaganda, no longer being privy to the highest level of Chinese Communist documents. Or it could be that he, having had his position reduced when he was removed as editor, is affiliating himself with another faction that's trying to challenge Xi's authority.
Gordon, you've long made it clear to me that when in trouble, the Chinese Communist Party reverts to nationalism to rally the troops. Do I remember that correctly?
Well, that's certainly right. And the other thing about Hu Suijin, which we should probably think about, is this is a message to other commentators in China that the scope of commentary is narrowing. This is the Communist Party saying, even though Hu Suijin has been loyal to us, he is not above and he has no position to be able to criticize. And I think this is important as the regime starts to worry more and more about what's happening. So my sense, and it's just a guess because I don't know, but my sense is that this is a signal to everybody else.
And to his 23 million supporters who would realize all of a sudden he's gone, and that kind of discourse is just not going to be permitted anymore.
So, Charles, can we guess that he's in a club fed somewhere and cooling his heels?
I think it's possible that he's under investigation of some kind.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to do something to keep the man from lashing out, and that usually involves being in residential surveillance in a designated location.
Charles Burton, Gordon Chang, I'm John Maps.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No